Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody's got a window open.
Radio.
What window?
Okay, Joe or Doc, if you have a
what? What do I have to kill?
Okay, let's try that again.
I just
had a window of eight. It's the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. And we're skipping on in, as we generally do, with a laugh, a giggle, and a screw up. And hey, you know, we're going to have a great show. I want to say hello to the folks in the chat room. And I'd like to welcome Jack. Jack, how you doing today, Don?
Doing well. Happy St. Patty's Day to everybody. And hope your day is going well.
And today our guests we've got one of the contributors, and we've got the fellow who established the Worldwide Hippies, which is it's also called Citizen Journalists Exchange now, too. And Worldwide Hippies is, I think it's best to let Joe McAvoy, the founder, give an explanation of it. But our guests tonight are Joe McAvoy and Doc Woody Konopak.
John Konopak, citizen journalist in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a.k.a. Dr. Woody.
All righty. There we go. We got that. And today's show is going to be devoted for the first hour to finding out how Worldwide Hippies got its start. And Joe, can you jump in here?
Well, Worldwide Hippies and Citizen Journalist Exchange, actually it's worldwidehippies.com is the website. And Worldwide Hippies was established long before Citizen Journalist Exchange came on board. Citizen Journalist Exchange will eventually be its own website. Right now it's just hosted at Worldwide Hippies. But Worldwide Hippies is the main site run by hippies and for counterculture people, liberals, progressives, anyone that really is free thinkers. And the Citizen Journalist Exchange part of it, which Doc actually come up with the name, and I thanks Doc, that's more what it's being evolved into. We're doing a lot of running articles and news features from independent journalists from around the world, and we want to grow that to a full-time site all on its own. But right now, it's the two sites together. Worldwide Hippies is not just Citizen Journalist Exchange. It's we aggregate news in, like I said, counterculture stuff. We do videos, and it's kind of grew out of, I started a social network for hippies.
Uh-huh.
And quickly that became, there's a lot of people wanted to join that were younger. So I shut that down, and I came up with Worldwide Hippies. So that's how it came about. And we've been around for about 3 years now.
Wow. And how many, I if you go over to Worldwide Hippies, and basically was one of the first places that we began to look for alternative news from Roundtree 7. Let me ask you, how many people do you have contributing? You have quite a board over there. I see many contributors.
Yeah, it varies. We have, now Doc's my horse. I mean, Doc, he gives me stuff all the time. And we have some regulars, maybe, say, 12 that produce, but not on a regular basis. So the numbers go up and down as people join, as people drop out. Obviously, when you're not paying anyone, if somebody gets a paying job, they go bye-bye. And for other reasons, too. We've had people that have left because they don't agree with the philosophy of some of the other people there or for whatever reasons. But the numbers go up. But the numbers go up and down. But we have a solid core of 8. And then we have, you know, the next step up would be 12 that probably do stuff that's monthly or bi-monthly. But Doc's right up there. Doc is probably gives me the most stuff and the most varied stuff. Plus, Doc does not just the writing, but he also does videos.
Right. As the Cookie Crumbles, correct, Doc?
Yeah, that's one of mine, yeah.
I put
out a couple under a couple of rubrics, but one of them is As the Cookie Crumbles, And I used to do some things called Fabulous Factoids, and I may come back to that in a while. And I also do some, Joe created these categories, the Worldwide Hippies Forum, Soapbox, and also Citizens Dispatch, which are different news formats, by which I also contribute to.
Yeah, the Citizen Dispatch is more for news, and at times we've had people from Europe contributing to that. And if they have, eventually what we want that to be is when people shoot videos of news in their area, citizen journalists, that they will be put on the Citizens Dispatch. And that has its own, it's niches news. And then we have the soapbox, and that's for anybody that wants to sound off. It's kind of our central square, again, with video. So if they've got something to say and they want to sound off on it, it goes in the soapbox. Difference being, soapbox, you can put anything in if you've got something to say, whereas the Citizens Dispatch is strictly citizen reporting.
Yeah.
And then we have Hippie TV News and stuff. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek. That's my most favorite thing, and what that is that's, oh, it's kind of, we throw everything in a pot there. The idea behind it, though, is to use current events and with a little bit of humor and a little bit of creativity, provide people information that they might not even be aware that they're getting it by the way that we bring it across. And Doc's on there, too. He's done quite a bit on there, and P.E. Nolan's been on there. And the topics on Hippie TV News and stuff tend to be current, but, you know, we do stuff on activism. Doc does his factoids. I do some of the news headlines. We have our own Asshole of the Week. So you get kind of an idea what it's like. But the idea behind it is very serious, and that is to provide a new way of getting news information and opinion out, with a little bit of comedy worked into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to educate people who might not really be getting educated or might not want to be educated. And we get the information out there in a different way.
Good. See, if I could ask, did this arise out of journalism careers that you previously had, or was just the result of a change in blogs that you had, or how did this come about?
Actually, this goes back to, I've always been into media. My education is in media and
okay.
Communications. I was in the news business for over 30 years, working for a Fortune 500 company, real bad company, so I will mention their name, Gannett.
been there, done that, too.
after seeing, And I went through everything. I started out, I drove truck there. I worked as a clerk there. I did freelance photography. I ended up doing photo editing, digital imaging. I've worked pre-press. Again, freelance stuff. At one time, I started a network magazine of the colleges in New York State called College Network Magazine. Quite a bit of history in media. I actually was getting out of it when I left Gannett, because seeing what I used to enjoy my job. By the time I left, it wasn't news anymore. So I seen what was going on with the business and chose to bail when I could still at least get some sort of retirement out of it. That money's all gone, by the way. Quickly I found that media is in my blood. It really is. It's not just a thing. It's in me. I thought I would make a living by running websites. I started out actually with a Fish With Your Kids site, and then I went to the always wanted the social network, so I bought a social network and called it Over 50 Hippie, and then to fund that, I started another website about laws of attraction, and was doing pretty well with that site, but quickly was finding out that a lot of it was just kind of a snake oil, and so to live with myself, I dropped that, and now I'm just doing Worldwide Hippies Citizen Journalist Exchange, and that takes all my time.
I got to tell you, Joe is a total Trojan over there. He just constantly got his shield on his shoulder, and he's humping away. I'm amazed. It's really he's really quite a guy.
And what's your background, Doc Woody?
Oh gosh! My very first official job that I ever made money at was on the stage crew at the Santa Fe Opera when I was 16. And when I was 17, I got a job as Santa Fe's first rock and roll disc jockey. I did that until I went in the service. And, well, I don't call it in the service anymore. I went in the military at 18 and stayed in for 4 years, and I got out, and various and sundry things happened, and I ended up working for a little newspaper in Albuquerque, and I got some radio work at a local radio station, and I've been in media pretty much ever since. I got a master's in 84 in journalism. Mm-hmm. I got a doctorate in education in 89.
Mm-hmm. Can I put a plug in right here, too, for what I consider one of Doc's best? Is he does a weekly feature on my website. It's the Education Beat. And not just saying this to pat your fanny, Doc, I think it's one of the most informational group of articles and analysis about the education system in this country. It's very, very, very good. And I'm very happy to have Doc doing it.
Thanks, boss.
Well, it's true. I find it very, very good, and I encourage people, if you read anything or you see anything on my site, that's what to look for, because it's very well put together and the analysis is always spot on, and we try to throw a little bit of humor in there. But
Joe does great layout. He's good. He's got a real incisive eye for the right image at the right time, and he's good with layout too. He's been at it between us. We've probably been in the wars for 60 years.
Yeah. Doc's an old trooper just like me. We both are survivors from the 60s, and we're both active, done too. So I think that carries over into all of our work also.
Yeah, I lost a toenail to a police horse in 1970. It wasn't funny at the time, I want you to know.
It sounds
very interesting what you put together there, and I can't wait to myself, and I encourage others to also go to worldwidehippies.com. Is that what it is?
Yep. And if you anybody out there interested in putting some work together, and it's good stuff, and it's backed up by facts, and you're looking for an outlet, right there. Sign up right there, any type. If you want to do news reporting from your area, that's really what I'm trying to grow on the citizen journalist side of that, so that eventually we can have our own news network, and people can get away from CNN and mainstream and actually find out the same stories a little closer to home.
Right, good.
So that's there. So people, come on over if you're interested in that. We're there. You can sign up, but also with the Citizens Dispatch if you have any news. We can put you up there. If you got something to say, we can put you on a soapbox. Really, I'm pushing the video because I think that's the future, where we're going anyway.
He keeps me around for a light touch.
I don't know about that. It gets pretty heavy, Doc.
Actually, Jack, Worldwide Hippies has been a part of the front page of Roundtree 7 since we went up.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we've always been connected to Worldwide Hippies.
Yeah, and P.E. Nolan's been on both, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. She's a real she's very versatile.
And she will be, gonna put another plug in here. She will be coming back with Hippie TV news and stuff starting early this summer. Don't miss it.
There you go.
Wherein you will also find yours truly declaiming from time to time on the subject of ways and memes.
Yes. And if anybody wants to get a little idea of what Hippie TV news is, and stuff is, you can just go to Worldwide Hippies and hit videos, or go, we have our YouTube channel called The Worldwide Hippies Channel. And you can
see
all the Doc stuff and some of our old Hippie TV news and stuff, and get an idea of what we have done. And then what's coming up now will be that and more.
Has this been almost exclusively a labor of love, or have you found a way to fund and finance this endeavor as well?
Joe's worked really hard on that end of it. We used to have, and I guess we still do have, a little store where you can go and buy trinkets. And then you can trade them for land with the people in New York, I understand.
But actually, I cashed in my retirement, and that's what's been funding it for the last 3 years. That money's gone. Anybody that is working on the web knows how hard it is to not only establish a presence, but actually to make some sort of a living off it. Although I do believe the possibilities are there. We haven't had any month where we broke even, but I believe in our product. And with the new things coming up, I think the chances for actually turning some revenue is really looking good. Although right now it's hard for anyone out there unless you have, you know, the backing to begin with, and you have Google. I mean, Google is probably our worst enemy, but that you have to deal with. And
it's like trying to sell to Walmart, you know.
It's very hard, and they say it's all SEO, but it really isn't. It's all corporate, and because you're not corporate, you know, it's an uphill struggle. I will say, though, to anybody listening, that there's nothing stopping anybody from getting on the net, and anything is possible. My site now, some months we hit over 50,000 visitors. That's pretty good for one guy after 3 years.
Really good.
With a lot of help. I got to say that too.
Oh yeah.
But you can do it, and I know you can make a living at it.
There are many wonderful social tools out there that helps get it out there beyond what Google is driving. Google may be a source of misery because of its corporate overlording. It's also a source to be plumbed for. I mean, look at the Hangouts thing, and we're not doing it today, but we've begun to do simulcast with video and YouTube. Through Google, and Google is providing a web for us to naturally just shift into right now. And it's a lot of what we're going to talk towards the end of the show about, and Kim will join us for it too, about that, the networking. But there's just bunches and bunches of options and opportunities with all of the different tools that are out there. If you use Google Chrome right now, you go to their Google Chrome web store, there's just huge amounts of networking tools that are it's a lot to keep up with. I use Hootsuite, and I just put up my own. I can commiserate with you, Joe, because I just put up my own paying site for my business to bring retail sales in, and I'm doing it because I can't afford to pay the prices for, you know, SEO driven stuff with the you know, blah blah blah.
I'd like to say, though, if I might, that the analogy that occurs to me with regard to Google is a three-edged sword. Do you know why they make three-edged swords, by the way? And they do. You know why?
Yeah. Berbers, yeah.
Because the wound doesn't close. Anyway, right. The three-edged sword that is Google is the fact that it's a choke point. You know, that no matter how apparently liberal and free and open and cooperative and convivial they may be, at any moment corporate can say, "Well, no, sorry, you're done," and that's it.
Yeah, but they're. Because they're so big, we have to use them, and they do have some good tools.
That's what I'm saying, you know, and that's the other—that's one of the other edges.
Right.
I will say, though, that the largest search engine out there is Google, but it's not a search engine. And anybody listening, believe me, it's a send engine. Google is not going to send you to the deliver to you the best sites. They're going to deliver to you what turns revenue for them. So
that's true, but you know that, like the Russians the Russians in Moscow during the Soviet regime learned how to read Izvestia and Pravda and Truth and to winnow from the propagandists the details they needed to make sense of the world around them. So I think you can learn to read and should learn to read. In fact, I would argue that you're really not literate until you can learn to read Google for its for what it gives you and how best to use.
Yeah, using it is 100% right where we should be, is using it.
Because you have no option.
I think so, too, actually.
We have the Hangouts as an elegant way for, I mean, we've all been in the using it to do the Tuesday evening meetings. And whereas you can get nine folks in there, if I'm working with Kim on figuring out how to, and we've done it, we can simulcast these Blog Talk Radio shows with through Google Hangout with one or two other people, and I can have it running live through YouTube on Roundtree 7 or the new networking site or wherever I want it to be there. And that video draws even more of an audience share to you. And I would remind everybody that it only takes a small amount, a lesser number of people, to awaken the greater number of people out there. That's what you're doing, Joe. You're out there to make awake, to
yeah.
wake people up. And it while it seems Herculean to have to go against all these huge motherfucking, you should pardon my language, giants that are manipulating things, at the same time we're using them to get the message out there in smaller numbers that grow even larger. The social network shouldn't be discounted either, because of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and
so
even
tools.
Tumblr. I use them all. I've got them all hooked into one board on Hootsuite, and I can send out, like I sent out the message for this show, then I will send it out two more times in the following week, so people will go to archive. And on a good week or a good show day, I get, you know, almost 10,000 hits. And on a regular one, I get 3,400 hits. And now I'm about to use YouTube to put more hitability out there. You see what I'm saying? You use these tools, you build your numbers, and yada, yada.
No, absolutely right. I agree totally.
You can. The stuff, the tools are there.
And while, I mean, I know Jack is really good because he will bring up the obvious flaws with, like, he gets an onslaught of Facebook emails if he's on, you know, if he tries to keep connected to Facebook, and it's he's not enabled to go in there and turn that off. I mean, I don't get Facebook emails because
I'm plagued for the rest of my eternity with Facebook. I forgot my password years ago. Right after I went on it, I was bombarded with so-and-so wants to be your friend, and I didn't know so-and-so. I had no idea who so-and-so was. I didn't want to know so-and-so, but they all wanted to be my friend. And I've been plagued with it ever since. So I took to never going on there, and I still get these damn emails. So some way I've got to find a way to contact those people and tell them to forget about me.
Well, you have to deactivate your account, Jack.
Am I still on here?
Hello.
You are, Doc.
Okay, I was just going to say about Facebook, which I use pretty much to the expense of everything else, frankly. The reason I'm out here isn't to make friends. I'm conducting Dr. Woody's pro seminar in life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say that's true.
I agree with that, Doc.
Yeah. You stir the water all the time. It's true. If there were a stick on the networks that I run through over there socially, I would point to Woody and say, there's the biggest stick I see right now is Woody, because he will post extraordinary things. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, you know, that, you know, on a serious side here, with Doc, Doc is controversial at times.
Yeah.
But Doc's a perfect example of what I'm looking for.
Right.
I want people that have voices out there, and Doc and I don't agree on everything, and hopefully we never will. At the same time, if Doc produces it, I run it. If I have a critique on it, I go right to Doc. I tell him a critique, and we work things out. I don't edit them, but it's for time. If I have a problem with something, like I said, I get a hold of them. But a point I'm trying to drive home here is, big part of what I'm trying to do on my site is I want all the opinions
yes.
that are valid and that are, I don't want people that are talking out their ass, but I don't have to agree with it. And in fact, I encourage anybody that's got something to say, throw it out there, even if it's not on my site, which I hope it is, but even if it's not on my site, get it out there because, you know, this is a time, right now we're on the cusp of this technology, and these windows may close. And the people right now put a stick in the window. They may keep their window open longer, if not permanently. But now's the time to do it. And I want to hear the voices. And Doc is one of those. It's the perfect example of how to do it right.
Controversy is another one of the tools, Joe. And controversy also sells. You know.
Right. And the media itself, the medium, excuse me. Not interfering with it, like the problem with mainstream media is it's all interference. And by the time you get something that's homogenized and
it's so loaded with commercials.
Well, that's the thing about blogging is the fact that you have in what amounts to, in fact, unmediated access to a mediated universe.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Good way to put it.
That's pretty good.
And I want it all. Video, I want people who write. I will put your stuff out there. Again, though, very important, if you're going to just, you know, blow stuff out your butt, it doesn't get on because people are too smart. The people who come to my site, you know, they're too smart. They know what's happening. And I don't want to put garbage out there because there's CNN, there's MSNBC, there's all that stuff. And you get little crumbs from them, and we want to give meat. And, you know, everybody's got a different flavor. And I encourage people, again, hopefully you'll come to my site and work for me. But if you've got something to say, now's the time to get it out there. If you ain't got a blog, you ain't got a website, then go to somebody else's. But take advantage, people, because what we think is freedom and it's going to be here all the time may not be. And I'm not being alarmist, but it's education. Now's the time that if you want to get active, your tools are there. They cost you almost nothing. Like Gwen said, Google's out there. There's no reason to ever say, at least to me anyway, that you couldn't have done nothing. And like even Doc and I talk, we go back and forth. You know, maybe you're just voices in the wilderness, but sooner or later the other wolves join you. And you may not change anything, but at least you can go down howling. And I mean,
well, if you're persistent and you're recurrent and you're always out there, you will attract a following, and it'll slowly and at some point grow exponentially. And everybody's striving for that.
Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Around here, at least, my desperation is not quiet.
Here's the thing about networking one another. Google, Bing, all of them work on linkage. How many links go here, here, and here to this, and this? It's about crawling through algorithms, crawling through spider webs. And if we have, you know, several or one hot spot and then several other networks connected out there, we're going to draw larger audiences anyway beyond this need for that corporate drive.
Glenn, you just gave me a great idea. Do you know, in fact, in any aspen grove, all aspens are related. They're all the same tree. They're interrelated underground by a network of rhizomic roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now see, here's a metaphor: is your community, your online community, is the aspens.
That's perfect. Doc. That's beautiful, man.
That's good. That would appeal very much to David to Krell over there at Roundtree.
I figured it probably would.
It appeals to me as the great-great-granddaughter of a nurseryman from Rochester, Joe. You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It appeals to me as a mountain.
Remember Doc and Katie?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember Doc and Katie in Rochester? The green
thumb? No, I don't, actually. I don't.
I'm talking all about trees, anyway.
Yeah, no, I, I come and go out of Rochester just, you know, every 3 years type of thing. I was raised outside of town, only born there. But I will say this, with all of the connections that we make to one another, blog to blog, and then we have now radio shows and we have video feeds coming out of YouTube and other sites, too, that carry video feeds. I do Vimeo also. And you can copy over to there, and that's another link. All of this goes into the algorithm jungle or algorithm spider webs out there.
No, and I think jungle's more like it.
It crawls along the circuits and brings people to you from the strangest places. So
sure.
Basically what they've created and tried to contain with Google and its SEO-driven, you know, got to buy the corporate package deal, they've outsmarted themselves, because beyond it, all of these algorithms are getting picked up anyway and shot in. They say there's a ranking to them, but you'd be surprised at how interconnected linkage like that can drive something right up to the top. And of course, they have people who sit on that stuff and are supposed to be policing it, I suppose. But I've Googled things that should have been at a different place than, you know, on the first page. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And you never know what you're going to hit there.
And you know, it's a, I do my own SEO and stuff for my website for retail sales, and I'm surprised at how well I've done.
It works well for more of a retail site. It's hard to do SEO on a news site because you end up having to edit too much. Google's constantly telling me, you know, words I got to stick in and things, and I understand it. I get it.
Oh,
you know,
if you're following the algorithm, yeah, I see. Yeah.
But that's what, you know, from where I'm at, it's very difficult. Nothing's impossible. But Google, it's like they don't see me because I don't follow. In other words, they want you to put the horse behind the cart all the time. They'll tell you how to make a website and how to make that content good, which does work if you're trying to, you've got a single message you're trying to get out there. If you've got a story, you've got something else. But when you're putting other people's stuff up, it's very difficult to use the SEO the way that it needs to be used so it does get picked up. But like Gwen said, there's so many ways around it. You mentioned Vimeo. I put stuff on Vimeo as a holding place just because of what you said. If I feel it's important, I may not only have it on YouTube, but I'll put it up on Vimeo. Or I'll use Vimeo to edit stuff. I put it as a parking place, knowing that those spiders are going to see that stuff.
Well, and I think this is one of the things that we're getting to with, you know, creating a network of a coalition with this project that we're all working on the backside here, in creating a place online that is the tree trunk and holder of the root system. You know what I'm saying?
You know what it is? It's Plato's Grove.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go. If we have a constant feed going on, but we've got one trunk that says this is where you can find all of this, then it reduces your dilemmas with how to SEO it out to Google and such.
Or you understand that whenever you touch one of the nodes, you're touching the whole, and there'd be a link there to elaborate on what it is you're touching.
See? Mm-hmm.
So this is a good spot for me to ask Gwen, what is it exactly you're talking about, Gwen?
I am talking about TCPN, which is called the Commons Project Network, which you are a part of and we are a part of, and so is Era Martifio Radio with Ra or Ruth Ann Amartafeo, and so is Roundtree 7, and Kim G over at AWOP Radio. bringing Rick Spezak and Progressive News Network, which is on at 7 p.m. right after us tonight, from here in Florida. He follows a lot of local stuff. You might have a good conversation with him, Joe, about uploading to Worldwide Hippies. You guys are right in the same, wearing the same jeans, dude. He's a good pal of mine, and he is an SEO expert, by the way. And one of the things that this Commons project is about is bringing together groups of people like Joe, like you're saying. You want people to come to you and give you their serious news efforts or what their voice is. And this project is also going to be there so that folks like myself or Rick, who has SEO experience, me, I don't have all that much experience, but I can do artwork, I can do other things, and I can give them my experience with how I did it. It's to help get other voices awakened. Also,
we're going to be the nexus of the new liberal.
Well, this is good. Yeah, that's a great description. But it's also about giving to the community again and getting people out there who will be enabled to, you know, speak their truth to power with some due diligence. It's not all, as Joe has said, it is not all willy-nilly, just come on down and sit on the crate. It's about having something that is due diligent from the best of your ability to do so, and it's about speaking the truth to power, because the point is that the MSN, the Fourth Estate, if you will, were you, Joe, at the Demon Chronicle?
Yeah, I was. 30.
I was down here at the Sun Sentinel. I was a graveyard shift photographer, and then I couldn't handle it. I got out of it, but I did work for a small print newspaper in Linville, North Carolina, out of Avery County, called the Avery Journal. Best damn editor in the world. But the point is, we all have this experience with, you know, being upset, disappointed, and just absolutely black night as far as the truth goes. And never more so than now, all of us, it's like all you have to do is get on Facebook and take a look at a day's worth of Woody's posts. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Can I interject thing here? I don't want anybody to ever, you know, get me wrong. That when I say that, you know, I don't want stuff that you're just blowing out your butt, I that doesn't mean that you can't do things in a unique way. Use humor. That's a good way to get across any of the tools in media, actually. You know,
the key thing is you've got to have sources. You've got to have the thing that annoys me about the people like Alex Jones and Lou Rockwell and, I mean, on and on and on and on and on, is that they keep repeating the same unsourced stories, and each one of them reiterates the truth of the previous one as if it were true when it's not.
It's like Fox News. It's like Fox News on the paranoid side.
I'm very adamant about this. I won't participate in something that's not any, that doesn't represent or represent the values of, you know, good sourced journalism.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Doc, and as some people have found out, I do, not all, but I do try to vet the stuff that I get. Some people, like, I know Doc's stuff, I know where it comes from. If everybody could deliver it the way he did, in different packages, of course, I'd love it, but people don't, you know, and I've had people give me original stuff, and they don't realize how easy it is to find plagiarized stuff, if I find it, I don't run it, and they don't work for me no more, you know, and, okay, I'm not paying them, but, you know, it means something, you know, when you come to my site, our site, what you're getting, other eyes have looked at it, it's not going to be just, again, I don't have to agree with it, but you got to be.
Joe?
Oop, we lost Joe.
I think we did. We lose Joe. Well, I think I know what he's going to say.
I
think we all do. He's right. You know, he's been in the business. And he was in the business back when being in the business meant something. And that wasn't that long ago, since it was in my lifetime, and I'm only 67.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other point about this, too, is guys like Alex Jones and people who are, you know, are fair, that are certain that HAARP has merit and these kinds of things. This is a controversy that it doesn't mean somebody is lying or they're a sensationalist. There are those people out there that are glomming on to information they feel is like, I mean, I live in the middle of the UFO zone. There are a lot of people out here who think that basically they are, you know, that there's bullshit in every basket, Woody, is what I'm saying. Still, there's also those, you live in New Mexico, for crying out loud, there are those people who do have substantial and true experiences. And controversy is a tool that excites the reader, the public, the people to come, see, and listen. Now, there's criteria of integrity, and I think better yet, that's what I would aspire to, is the integrity of the person. And not so much somebody else saying, well, I don't think that's true. You know what I'm saying?
I think that your integrity as a writer depends on the credibility of the sources you cite and the honesty with which you cite them.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. But there are those, however, I used but, so I negated myself, but. I had better back it up.
It's unavoidable. That's a linguistic double bind been built in there for generations. We slip into it every time. Thank Gregory Bateson.
What I would say, though, is, however, like I said before, there are folks who have found credibility amongst, and there is credible information amongst Alex Jones's spew, his garbage. He's just doing it for sensationalism and attention, of course. It's a fear ride. It's a fear ride.
There's about as much truth to Alex Jones as there is horse meat in a McDonald's burger.
Oh, dear.
And I'll leave that to your imagination.
Well, we can go there. We do have another caller, and I'm going to open it up. I think I know who the caller is. We will open the mic. 918 area code. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, it's me, Krell, David.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, David.
Thank you for
hanging out.
Hey,
Joe. Hey,
Woody.
Hey, David. Como esta, baby?
I was just listening in on the conversation. Having some trouble getting into the chat room, but I don't know if that's just me or probably something to do with my computer. But very interesting conversation so far. I like the idea of the analogy of course, you already mentioned it, the trees and the roots and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me to be very connected like that. It has a root system that builds up from a base and, you know, and you have all these sprues coming off, and you know, you have the capability of creating something that's a lot stronger than just an individual. You know, I almost think that's the next step in social media, is gathering of strengths together.
And then you throw in that into that mix, you throw in the Mandelbrot sets.
Well, I was going to mention bundles of sticks, but you know where that goes, you know.
Well, I think it's also a great tool for problem solving.
Exactly. It's just trying to figure out how to coordinate the whole thing and bring it so it's real user friendly. Because let's face it, if the attention span on the average internet user is so quick that if you don't have something that's very easy to use and informative right off the front.
And at the same time, don't forget, 25% of the country really isn't online.
Right.
Yeah.
At least 25% who can't either get online, can't afford to get online, mm-hmm. don't have access to the local library. You know, there's a huge volume of people out there for whom we're invisible as pixels.
Well,
and most of those people watch Fox News.
Oh, well, not most, but many.
Yeah,
see,
right.
I would suggest, like I did, you know, just start wearing your old Guido mask to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Not into people.
Yeah, it
questions.
Creates attention.
You
it draws answer. Questions.
I bet it
piques interest.
I used to wear my Santa hat, and it did.
Whatever it takes. It will get people to ask questions, and that's what it's about. It's about getting the information out there. But when you talk about all this interconnectivity, and sometimes I wish I had, like, I'm the only gal here, but the gals from radio and TV have talked about it's open. It's like I said in a show a couple times back. I think that the cat's out of the bag, and whether they try to shut us down or not, I think we're going to be here and be on the net, and it's going to be available from one form or another, and we're going to ride over it, come around it, what have you.
I hope so, Gwen, but I'll tell you, my great fear at the moment, and I hope one of you may be able to help me allay it, my great fear at the moment is that they will figure out a way to impose a financial burden on those people who want to have access to outgo on the web, which will, mm-hmm. in the form of something like a libel tax or a bond or a guarantee or a warranty or a surety or something like that, that will impose, in effect, a silence on those who can't afford it.
I don't think they have the ability to control the Internet, per se, but I do think they have the ability to control the DNS providers.
There you go.
If you can work around the DNS thing, you know, and
that's what I said before about choke points.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, choke points, and that's where the choke points are. All these DNS providers that, mm-hmm. you know, if suddenly they cancel either Roundtree7.com or whatever, and you're forced to use an IP number, then it becomes pretty difficult. You know, nobody.
Well, hopefully, with our network, we can eventually get to where we will be our own server. I mean, that's what I look at down the road with the network. If we put our heads to it, to where then we can all just have our own file servers, have our own place. And
I think Joe is back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Joe, because I've already seen people that are generating their own private DNS databases, so they act as their own servers. So once you get to that point, you know, they can't really throttle you back.
May I ask a question? Because it seems to me the basic, and this is something I thought about a lot, it seems to me the basic sort of premise behind the whole connectivity thing is the system of URLs. Every one system that recognizes all of these kind of single system codes and knows how to distribute them. Now, and who controls that, and how would one, even if one were able to create a database, how would one make that connection?
You can look at it like it's a huge backbone, and you know, you have all these little arteries, but the spine of the system, there's only five what they call major switching, AT&T, I forget who it is, there's five of them, and
one's in
those
Japan,
five,
right?
Huh?
I think one's in Japan.
You know, believe it or not, and this will spark all you Alex Jones fans out there, but everything routes through Virginia.
CIA.
American coincidence, I think, right?
NSA, I used to work for those guys.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
In Langley?
No, I know I was overseas, but I was, and I really didn't work for them. I just worked for the people who fed them shit.
Well, we've got technology coming down the line too. You know, eventually, you know, the technology is here now that we don't need those servers. It's just the big business that keeps them there, because we can think, you know, eventually, you know, I see local area networks as being the answer, and then hooking them together, and we can bypass all servers.
How realistic is that?
That's very
realistic. There's about five different projects out there that I'm actually on a committee of one, believe it or not.
Yeah,
doing that.
A lot of gated communities are test grounds for that. And you're not talking hundreds, you're talking thousands of people hooked together, no Internet access except their modems to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually some software out there that will convert iPhones into actually local servers.
Yeah.
Well, but they all got
Apple certainly doesn't like it, but
and they got them in there to keep track of you too. Don't worry.
Well, this is once you get it together, you know, you take the power away, and technology, you can stall it, you can slow it down. sometimes you can make it move backwards a little bit, but there's always going to be a forward motion. And
that's
once,
right.
Once the idea is out there, you got people that are, you know, like us.
Oh, yeah, the absolutely perfect epitomizing model of that sentiment is the hacker.
Yes.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do agree.
Well, that's a good point, and that's why they're coming down so crazy upon them. It's not what they actually do.
That's exactly right. That's
action.
Why they came down on that kid who downloaded all that academic information.
Yeah, Aaron
Aaron Schwartz, or what was his name?
Yeah, he was the one that started, I think it was Reddit. But anyway, it's not the actions, and people look at it and say, oh, how come they're being so harsh on these people? But what it represents to them
is
an uncontrolled power, and the
it's
government cannot stand
this
uncontrolled power.
This is the lesson to you, boy. Die.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're making examples of everybody. They got
Bradley Manning
that's
is
running informing on all the anonymous people right now, and they're going crazy about it. Anybody and everybody they can attack, they're trying to get to them.
And
that's what Bradley
anonymous.
Manning is a scapegoat. I mean, he's an example. He's a kangaroo court drumhead marshal back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Anonymous has been actually serving the U.S. government with helping them to make very big indictments in the last couple of months. Have you noticed that? I can't remember. Right.
Well, the thing with Anonymous is you don't know if it's anonymous.
Well, Anonymous is
right.
That's
right. You can't sue. You don't know you're being surveilled, and the surveillance is secret, so fuck you.
From working in the media, I know a lot of times they point the finger because that's where they want you to look. I mean,
yeah, that's right, Joe. We both know that.
Anything to do with this at all, but they want you to think Anonymous does so that we repeat it to each other.
Right.
They never provide the proof. I know Anonymous is anonymous. And so when I see the word, it could be anybody, it could be anywhere, I can use the name and be truthful by doing it.
That's right.
Plus, a lot of it is trying to generate enemies like Anonymous, and suddenly you see all these stories about the Chinese hackers attacking everything, and to get a military procurement, they have to generate enemies, and that's what they're doing. They're generating the enemies so they can have these offensive cyber units suddenly that can attack.
Absolutely, no question about it. Well, you want to get chilled? Go online and look up the logo of the U.S. Space Command.
Okay.
Bye, Doc.
Huh?
Bye, Doc.
What happened?
Bye, Joe.
Why, Doc?
Why? Oh, just go look at it. Just go look at it.
What are we looking
US
for?
U.S. Space Command.
Look at the image on the U.S. Space Command webpage, central page, U.S. Air Force Space Command.
Yes, but this is
mission.
a listening venue, and so he's asking you why. What does it look like that we should understand?
Well, I'll just look at you. It should be. It should jump right off the page.
Okay, here, AFSPC.
I'm looking right at it.
and look at the mission statement.
Okay, I don't know where a mission statement is.
Overview, description.
I'd like to let the callers who are calling in know that I've been opening their mics. It's very good of you all to be quiet, but you are a part of the conversation. So.
Really, indeed. The idea is that the Space Command is to maintain U.S. hegemony in the clouds, friends. That's the only reason it's there. We talk about science, we talk about the space station, we talk about the idea is to be able to intercept and identify any kind of object that's heading our way.
Right, or that we're sending there.
Well, we already know about them.
I mean, to watch them.
Yeah, well, to watch the fireworks, take some pretty pictures. Yahoo!
You know, like a rant.
Jack, are you still there? I would like to once again point out that this kind of information that is being spoken about tonight on the show is stuff that people would learn and grow by out there. And when we have a network where people can go and find the collection of all the different venues from which this information is coming from, that they can trust.
Well, may I throw in a plug here, just because everybody else has been doing it. If you're at all interested or don't have time to hang around Facebook all day, which is being a retired old curmudgeon, I do, and you want to sort of tune in on my more interesting opinions, well, I put them up every day on a blog called what's it called? Oh, I have about six of them. This one's called the Well-Armed Lamb. The Well-Armed Lamb, and it goes up as The Bleat Goes On.
Well, thank you.
Good catch line.
Yeah, it is. Here at the ground level of everything that we're doing right now, I would ask, Joe, you're back on, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Joe, David, and I would ask the two of you if you could give us your version. I know Joe has, but David, also your description of what we're trying to create with a network for folks.
Oh, well, I like to use the analogy like a village center where you have all the people coming together and discussing ideas and bringing new plans and sort of just the general feel of what's going on. Another good analogy would be like I call it a round table. You have all these knights that get together and they have a central planning place that anybody out there in the world can go and you can see what's going on with all these different groups. It's like a central meeting
place. You mean like
the
United Nations?
Yeah, in a way, United Nations, but, you know, hopefully we can accomplish
David,
a little bit more.
David, explain swarming.
Swarming is a different thing. Swarming...
But it goes to bear.
Yeah, swarming is... for that, you can use analogy of like ants, where you have a decentralized command center, and things happen on the fly. It's completely different than what we're trying to do. Swarming is a protest method where you have instantaneous communication, and you just say, okay, we're going to meet at Elm Street, and everybody forms these groups and hits Elm Street within a real rapid amount of time. And the thing about that is that no defensive plans can defend against it, because you have the real time. You know, you have to have the mobilization speed that's not generated fast enough.
David's talking about the future of protest. He really is.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different thing to what we're trying to do. I think we're just trying to bring ideas to a general sort of central location, and
it's all right in our name, wouldn't you, Dave? I mean, we are establishing a commons.
I like that, Joe. I like that, a commons. I think that's a terribly important idea.
The project is being developed right now. That's why we can't catch it and paint it red, because we don't know what it is yet. We do know what we're trying to put together, but what it will become, we don't know. So you know, it is a project. And then it's a network. A network is hooked together. Everything coming in also goes out.
Yeah.
And
think about it
with this, the commons, is that it's not, per se, just a linear time blog type, you know, where you have different writers writing blogs. It's a real-time social media gathering place where you have videos coming in, you have Twitter feeds, you have... you know, anything that you can think of as far as social media, and it's all being brought together in this one group, and that group is being displayed real time on this one website.
Yeah,
and it's organized. It's very important that it's being organized so that you don't have to go there and sift through stuff. Well, you've got a bunch of very intelligent people that are going to be behind this to make sure that it gets put there so that people can access it easily. I mean, that seems to me to be a big part of this thing, too, is... you know, getting it so you can go to one place and find what you're looking for or be surprised by what you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Another image occurs to me as you're talking there, Joe, and that is the idea of that underwrites the principle of the Second Amendment, which is that all the arms would be stored in a common arsenal. And so we are actually kind of
of suggesting that people contribute their ammunition and arms to the common arsenal, and we can distribute them. I mean, they can come and get them when they need them.
Yeah, good way to put it, Zach, because, you know, that is, I like that.
Another point to make is that if the One Commons website gets taken down, you still have the arterial, you know, the branches out there that are still functioning.
Right.
So in a way, it adds a little
right.
bit of armor to your ideas.
And you've got
to
build that into the
re-centralized
algorithm.
This is a question coming out of the chat room, which, you know, I suppose you could think in these terms, but someone is asking what keeps spies out of the commons or this project. Well, it's not about that. Everybody, this is on the internet. It's about, I suppose if you're saying what is the criteria for anyone to be there, well, basically, we're developing that as we go. And if we're going to come from a platform of fear and isolation, we're not going to get very far. So the criteria
has to be on the internet.
Spies and agent provocateurs are at every protest, every
central. Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
Yeah, absolutely they are.
You get to be able to tell who's who. But we're not keeping anybody out. You know, if we're doing what we're doing is with integrity and we know what we're talking about, bring them on.
Right.
If they have a common goals, then, you know, fine. But if they don't, if they act as a, like you said, an agent provocateur, they'll quickly be exposed. But, you know, the thing is that everybody's going towards a common goal. So I think that becomes our shield, so to speak, from the outside.
And no one's coming from
the
right place. You know,
there's an interesting
important.
Book on the subject of agent provocateur, and that was written by Joseph Conrad in the 1880s, and it's called The Secret Agent.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Actually, yeah, I've read that.
I want to...
That was before Heart of Darkness, right?
I would
yeah.
like to thank Kim G for joining us with AWOP Radio. She is one of the people who actually has pushed and provided a way to say, hey, let's start something here. Kim, are you on?
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Kim.
Hello there.
Hey, how are you guys?
I expect the listening, so you may be tuned into that.
Well, I actually just tuned in. I just barely made it. Gwen said, can you come on at 7? I'm like, sure. And I'm like rushing to get here. So,
we're glad you made it.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you guys.
We going to see you Tuesday, Kim?
Yes, I am going to be able to make it on Tuesday, barring any other unforeseen event.
Well, you were missed last week, and a lot of nice things said about you.
Oh,
that was,
thank you.
That would be where?
Sounded like you guys got a lot done.
Hey, talk to
Moving
Dave.
Forward. We didn't want to come back to you with nothing.
It's all ashamed and everything, you know. Gotta have something going on.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like you guys got a domain name.
Notice the project in there.
We might have a domain name, yeah. Aspen.
Yeah, we've already registered that domain name. It's ours.
Which one is that?
TheCommonsProject.com.
Oh, The Commons Project. Oh, good. That's good, yeah.
I really like that name, y'all. I really, really do.
Yeah, and plus the TCPN sounds really...
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, it does.
Hey,
that's
we got more letters.
Ring. It has kind of, it sounds almost authoritative.
Oh.
It sounds like something I took right in my high school prom, actually.
E-C. And, yeah, really, I mean, you know, grab a seat.
Yeah, you can get some great bumper music for that, you know, like dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
It does. It has all kinds of resonances.
It does, yeah. TCPN.
But it's kind of like also... you know, da 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 da.
Or
there's
da 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 da.
You know what?
Oh, from what was the name of that movie? You know, the Close Encounters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't
we're there.
Just create it.
Scott. I went to see that at the movie theater when I was a senior in high school, and I walked out of that theater thinking, that is the strangest movie I've ever seen in my many, many 17 years. And
wow, you know, that you know, the fact that you could recognize that is pretty impressive.
It was strange. It was strange.
No, it's a great film.
It is. It is. It's just, when I say strange, I say that in a good way. I mean, that
it changed a lot of people's minds. I mean, I still don't think anybody's ever sat down here and hauled anybody off, graphic descriptions notwithstanding. But you know, it's an eye opener. It's something you've got to think about.
Well, I mean, okay. How many of you guys have seen a UFO?
Me.
I've seen some.
I mean, you know, that
doesn't mean it's from outer space, you know.
I meant the probably from outer space kind.
I've seen things in the sky I couldn't explain, but I'm not prepared to call them extraterrestrial manifestations.
Okay.
I think a lot of the stuff is these, sort of skunkwork spy planes, that, especially in the New Mexico areas around Arizona, California. They're flying that stuff all the time, you know, and they don't announce it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially with, you look at that defense budget, you know, it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that people don't know about.
When it happens underwater beneath a large craft and it shuts the engines down, pushes no wake beneath it, but just one great big light, and the air becomes crisp enough to taste the damn copper. That's unexplainable. It could have been something the military was doing, but to achieve
what
it did.
It could also have been the hand of God. You never know.
There wasn't enough really as above, so below in it, but I will say this. It was an experience I never forgot, and I can remember it vividly to this day because it was so shocking from what I would consider reality. When you get those kinds of experiences, you know, they stay with you. And
oh, yeah, sure.
It's, of course, we're all looking for the science, but I don't think we from my point of view, I don't close my mind to any different direction, you know?
Yeah.
There's lots of science that we don't even have a clue about yet. You know, starting into the quantum worlds and stuff like that, then, you know, there's nobody that really knows what goes on in the quantum world.
Well, good chance just to point out, too, that this is the type of stuff that if somebody wrote an article, you can't really vet it, but you know that what they're talking about, they believe they experience and can articulate well.
Well, there's plenty of people out there. You just wish, you know, there's the old joke about the guy in the cow field with the same old story. Down here in Central and South Florida, especially over like Lake Okeechobee, which is close to me, and, of course, the Atlantic seacoast, which I'm right on, lots of phenomena, but very little of it ever. It's just so much so often anymore that it doesn't get very much of a notice. You know, Doc, isn't there quite a bit of it still in the New Mexican area?
Well, you know, it kind of depends. I guess, you know, we have Roswell, which is epicenter number one for that particular dispensation, but. And you know, that we have these big labs out here. There's Los Alamos and Sandia, and we got down in the southern part of the state, we've got White Sands and the Trinity site. And I mean, you know, New Mexico is sort of kind of, and there's the new space center down there by Truth or Consequences, which used to be called Hot Springs, but that was pretty pedestrian, and then this TV host got it out. Anyhow, yeah, we have a lot of connection to that, but I'm not sure how much of it's marketing.
Okay. I've been seeing in the posts. I check those guys out on that side of the net, and I've been seeing between Mexico and on my shoreline, the east coast of Mexico, from Cancun down over to the New Mexican mountain ranges.
Lots
of photography, a lot of people saying, I saw this, I saw that. So,
well, you know, that's also a drug corridor. They fly over there all the time in low-flying aircraft and shit. So they also, there was a guy down in on the other side of the border south of Columbus, New Mexico, who rigged up a deal where he shot bags of weed across the border. They landed.
Us up in the plane. It's a bird. It's a bail-up.
Well, you know, if that's it. But as Joe was saying, this is a kind of story. If someone has, you know, like myself, getting off at the dock, going, "Hey, let me go write this up and send it over to Joe McAvoy of Worldwide Hippies. He's got to hear this story." You would look at it and take it for the face value that the intended person sent it in to you.
Well, I think you'd also
tell by the way it's written. And of course, if you're from Florida and you say you've seen it over Lake Erie, I'm not running it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned those flying bales of pot, but you know, you got to wonder how come they haven't sort of embraced the drones with that stuff.
For a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that the drones, they're mostly looking for illegal aliens. You know, they're looking for border crossers. That's why they're
The people trying to get across the border. How come they don't load up a big stash in a drone and fly it over? You know, if you get caught, then nobody's actually going to get.
I don't know if they can buy the technology yet, but I'm sure they can if they'll look hard enough.
They're making subs right now. Submarines.
I know it's done with all little gas powered. Remote control planes.
Well, yeah, you know, how much can you carry with one of those? I don't think you could carry much more than a joint.
No, guys, yeah. I think that these drones come in all sizes, but
that's
used. I've seen it right in my neighborhood.
But they cost, those ones cost $50,000-$60,000 a piece, you know, and you really have to be able to steal them. Because you're not going to be able to buy them on the white market.
No, I mean,
China's making them, mass producing them now, Doc.
Yeah,
are they sending them out?
Oh, I'm sure you can get one that's from China, man.
Oh,
yeah, they're selling them to different
they?
Countries.
God.
Not selling them in the United States. We sort of have the market corner.
I mean,
now Obama is trying to bring in some international cooperation as far as generating some sort of rules for drones, you know, now that everybody else has sort of embraced them.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that, too. Yeah, it's Big Daddy's going to tell us.
Really. I've been using them all along, but everybody's getting them now, so we better make some rules here.
Here's the rule I made for we. Yeah.
Well, you know, here in South Florida, in my county, which is Palm Beach County, they have 3 drones available to the sheriff's department, and they've used them over my neighborhood. And I've looked up and seen them, right, you know, probably 200 yards up in the air in my neighborhood. And
well, you said you're close to the coast, though, right, Gwen?
Right. West of us here by about a half a mile is considered gangland territory.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's you know, you're located in a place where if they were wanting to look down on stuff for particularly possibly even legitimate reasons, you know, that you're not that far from it.
Yeah, well, it pissed me off, I can tell you.
Well, you know, but think about the people in Afghanistan who don't know whether the son of a bitch is going to shoot at them.
Actually, I got to wonder, too, because of the nature of crime and stuff and the reason that it was said that they were getting them, whether or not these things are armed in our neighborhood, you know?
Probably not yet.
It's coming.
Probably not yet.
It's coming. All it takes is a well-orchestrated massacre on a few policemen, and then you'll see the need for drones.
Oh.
Yeah, suddenly it'll be an emergency.
Makes
you know,
sense.
That's how that stuff comes
in. Makes sense. Kim, you were about to say something.
No, I was just going to say that as soon as really drones came into my consciousness about what they were and how they were being used, I was I felt immediately that we are going to come to a point where drones are going to be a big issue in our society.
Kim, you know what? I would not challenge that statement, but I would probably try to amend it, because it seems to me that there are uses to which drones could quite legitimately and helpfully be put. I mean, let's face it, the corporate state owns about 80% of all the ground in this country, about the other 20% going to the feds. And that includes ours, because you have a mortgage, you don't own your house. The fact of the matter could be that drones would be very effective in tracking down corporate malefactors who were spewing pollutants into what they thought were safely obscured canyons and backwaters someplace. Or about if we're running herds? I mean, it just seems to me that there's uses we could.
There are. I mean, clearly there are. But we once thought that our military would never be used the way it's being used right now.
Well, I don't know. How old are you?
I am 51.
51. You weren't born in Vietnam yet. Well, you were born, but you weren't really paying attention. We knew in the 60s that's how our military would be used from now on.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what's happening with military-style weaponry and things like drones and militarizing police. I think that's where that's going.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, I know there are lots of great uses for it. I don't doubt that at all. But the question isn't, and it's really like guns. It's like, you know, it's the people that have guns that are the problem.
Drone. I mean, nobody's used a drone to fire on anybody yet.
But you know, I don't. If we don't get a handle on corporate terrorists and the way that they're thinking about people these days, I mean, I have to tell you guys, when I heard that interview with Scott Prouty this past week. When he talked about what happened with Mitt Romney in the room and why he really decided to do that, you know, I really had never heard that part about what he said about those women in China. But when I heard it, I was like, okay, that's it. There's no pretending anymore. They'd like to see us all working 12 people to a room in a prison factory, just like those Chinese women.
Yeah,
there's no sugarcoating. And so that's why I'm afraid, because if they are in control and they have their hands on the levers of power, that they will, without a doubt, they will use this technology against us in ways we are not going to like.
They have no limits.
Don't you think they already do?
Well, in as much as they can, which is actually kind of... Not, you know, I mean, it's blatant if you really are looking, like the whole situation with student loans, with the banking banksters.
No. Listen, the scam of student loans is a scandal that is practically indescribable.
That's what I'm saying. And I think it's corporate America that's driving the problem.
Indenture in the service of a credential that's essentially worthless.
Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing.
You are.
You know, I have children and they're going to be getting to college age here pretty soon. And, you know, I'm really at a quandary as to, you know, if they come up to me tomorrow and said, Dad, do you recommend I go to college? I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, I'd really have to think about it.
Get there, David, there might be the opportunity for them to attend college through an online, college community, Harvard and the rest of the Ivy.
Yeah, I was thinking about the old school type,
Right. And every kid wants that socialization process, too.
See, I don't think the online schools give anything like the kind of experience that
I agree about that, too. There is the college experience, and, you know, when I look back at, when I graduated as an engineer, I think I had like $8,000 of debt when I got out of school. But now I'm talking to people that apply for jobs, and they're running 100K, 120K of school debt.
Right.
You know, the thing I'm an old man. I have done a lot of things, and I started young. the thing I would hope that everyone had and could be able to set aside for themselves was a physical set of skills, like a trade, like a plumber or a seamster or a sewing, anything. It's something you can do with your hands and something you can do with your head. You got to have...
Agreed, yeah.
Can I just throw up there, too, that to a certain extent is the whole college experience are wanting to keep some nostalgia going on in education? I mean, I think to a large degree, I think we're behind the times when it comes to college and the kids having to actually go on campus. They're used to the social networking online, and we're pulling
them
away.
Very good point.
But I think we're giving it too much credibility, whereas 15 years ago you could say that. But I think right now the kids waste more time walking the halls because they can get the social interaction online that they're going to get anyway with their iPhone and when they get home.
I'm an old school. What can I say?
All right.
Well, it's the best education for the way the world is developing and how we're creating a new world. You know, that's the point.
I agree, but that new world is being built on principles which are still relevant and which have less accessible than soundbite availability. You know, I mean, you've got to think that I don't think you help people think when you just sort of spit predigested bits at them.
No, there's online education.
I think there's a sending and receiving going on in education online now. I don't think it's
When
they try to bring it into classroom, I think that's the way it was presented, but I honestly don't think it is. I was working on faculty online, and there's still interaction going back and forth constantly.
But a point that was made just a little bit earlier was learning about a trade, and that's one thing that I'm all for. I mean, I want to teach my children how to, change a faucet washer and know about a little bit of electricity and being able to change the light socket. I mean, there's something to be said for people that are pursue those things and are universal. Everything from being able to lay some brick to doing whatever. And I think that there's a tendency to be so specialized in knowledge now that, I can talk to someone and they know all about some sort of, hydro dynamics or something like engineering, but they don't know how to change a tire.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, man.
The point's taken
there,
too.
You can't outsource
I got to teach them marketable skills, and that's, it's not singular. Learn how to use a paintbrush, learn how to lay tiles, learn how to do
that. Well, you're talking about an education, what we call vocational education.
I think a lot of it's just a mindset. If you're getting that at a young age, anything that you can do with your hands is a positive benefit, not only to your education, but to allowing you to do the things you want in life, because
absolutely.
Just there no more. And
in Germany, they're very rigidly tracked in their educational system, or at least they used to be. I think they still probably are. There was an academic track, there was a more or less a trades track. But even so, the people who were in the carpenter track read and discussed Goethe while they were banging nails.
Yes.
Wow.
Can you see that happening here right now? I mean, I'm trying to think of that one. It's a beautiful concept.
I had a pal in Baton Rouge. He's a carpenter, and he wasn't a PhD. I was a PhD student and a carpenter, and we used to sit around and drink and smoke weed and talk about carpentry projects. But he could quote Goethe to you in the original German with equal facility. Discuss the Pythagorean theorem about laying out a building.
Yeah,
amazing.
At the paper, we used to have printers come from Germany to work on the presses. And many times I'd take them out to lunch just to talk. We didn't talk about presses. Talk about a well-rounded education. I mean, very, very, and compared to some of my contemporaries, these gentlemen were brilliant.
We're talking about American educational system being a little lacking.
Well, I mean, that's my big fear is that you spend so much money and you try to have to specialize just so you can pay those loans back, that you don't have the luxury of trying to round out your education. You know, it's going to make everybody so focused on
student loans,
the money thing right
forgiven.
After they graduate, that they don't have the opportunities of going out.
Oh, yeah, and don't get me started on these damn commercial colleges.
I think a lot of reason for starting them at home.
I think there's no reason you should. I think kids probably should learn to read at home. I really don't think there's any reason why they should not have. Kids should not. 5 years old, 6 years old. Most everybody who doesn't have a problem can figure out reading by then.
Well, they should be able to change a tire too. Not at that age, but I mean, they should.
Come on, man.
And help paint the house and do the dishes.
The problem is that,
to realize that there's a real reward in physical work.
Yeah,
and curiosity, you know, don't automatically say, well, who am I going to call to fix this? You know, be curious and you know, try
to
get out there and explore.
One of the great regrets I have with growing old is that I can no longer, it's not really a regret.
Yeah, you guys are not discussing the real thing, though. I mean, how many parents have the time right now, the average parents? And let's be factual here. A lot of parents, aka parents, is a mom who's working two jobs
to keep three
children from going, and she's using media, technology, and
doing the best
God knows what else. It's the babysitters and the stand-in for herself. And
men are such pigs.
Gentlemen.
And in conclusion, men are pigs.
Thanks,
Doc.
Gave the secret away, man. Doc.
Kim, thank you for calling in and joining us this evening and giving us some of your benefit of experience too.
I don't know. I ranted about something for a few minutes.
And
so,
you did a damn fine job of it.
That's
too.
Right.
And we all admire it too. Yeah, you did well.
I'll talk to you on Tuesday, Kim.
All right, man.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Happy trails, y'all.
Well, listen, Doc, John, and Joe, and I think Jim Joyner is actually in here listening with
us. Yes, he is. Son of a gun.
I knew that was your number.
An hour.
Joe, Doc, Jim, and David and Kim, thank you so much, everybody, for being on here. And, of course, Jack, as always, who gets off every Sunday at 7, regardless. And, folks, I'd really like for you to go over and listen now to the rest of the Progressive News Network with Rick Spezak right here on Blog Talk Radio. And later this evening, please take a look for Era Martifio. I know she's got a lineup on Sunday nights. Friday afternoons at 2 p.m., please join Kim G over at AWOP Radio. That's AWOP. You can find her on Google and what's your site? It's AWOP Radio, isn't it, Kim?
AWOPRadio.com.
There you go. And please go over and take a look at what Oso has to say this week on Roundtree 7. That's the number 7.com. He's going to open your heart and your eyes, as usual. And you can find Joe McAvoy and Doc Woody over at worldwidehippies.com and all of the good stuff that they have to post. I think I'm getting everybody in there. It is sponsored by Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, is sponsored by Roundtree 7, number 7.com, and Daughters of Isis.com, the fragrant memory of Gone over and take a look. And thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight. Really, really appreciate it. It was a good show. We got
good
a lot
show.
To say.
A lot of fun, thanks.
Night.
Thank you very much.
See everybody.
Good job. You didn't leave room for somebody to get a word in edgewise.
That's my job.
everybody remember to go take a look at The Average American Patriot with Jim Joyner.
And keep your eyes peeled for TCPN coming soon.
Okay.
TCPN, yes.
Yeah, let's get the truth out.
Yeah. I'm on your list.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
This is Here Be Monsters. And we'll be back next week for the Sunday show with Jack Joyner and Gwen Berry. Thank you for listening in. Come on back and hear us again. Good night.